Centre for Creative Practice. And now I'm going to hand over to Professor Brian Castro, who's going to tell you all about it. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great pleasure to have you here with us tonight. Lieutenant Governor Mr. Hu Van Liu, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. The JM Coetzee Centre for Creative Practice brings together two disciplines at this university, which are the most obviously creative rather than theoretical, creative writing and music. Often we who work in universities are accused of isolating ourselves in an ivory tower, but this centre aims to break that down, inviting people to work together across disciplines, doffing the gown to reach across town, stretching cords between ebony and ivory, translating outsiders into insiders. The creative mind cannot and should not be harnessed into traditional and unimaginative practices ensconced behind walls and bricked up to all comers. We will be having an effect, we promise you, ladies and gentlemen, on the cultural life of Rundle Mall. Professor Coetzee has generously lent his name to this centre, and in a way he epitomises what it's all about. The film of his novel Disgrace featured a music score composed by Graham Kerner from the Ilder Conservatorium. Writer Peter Goldsworthy, an adjunct professor in creative writing, has recently produced, along with Graham, a song cycle, which you will see and hear later on this evening. The discourse around text and music is a fruitful area for research, but that is not its only nexus. While many of us think that science, medicine, architecture, and engineering are progressing our world into the 21st century, it is always illuminating and humbling to remember that abstract thought, which leads to concrete results, relies on a combination of metaphors, has a rhythm, a music, and aesthetic shape. Its revelation depends on our skills of perception. We can think of patterns produced by fractals, or the music emitted by steel cables under stress, or the signaling rhythms of mitochondria. Even argument, as George Steiner said, has its drumbeat. And I quote, "What voices the closing moments of Hegel's phenomenology better than Edith Piaf's nom de nom, a twofold negation which Hegel would have prized?" In the same way, we do not know until it is pointed out what effect emotions have on thinking, how music of the spheres and of the heart enables the language of genius. And here I want to quote from one reader who, upon reading a book of literary essays entitled Stranger Shores, was compelled to write the following. "It seems there was a boy of 15 living in the suburbs of Cape Town in 1955. He was, as are many boys of his age, bored out of his mind, as he tells us, the main problem of existence in those days. Nothing much was going on. It was a Sunday afternoon. Young Coetzee had no reason that day to think that anything much would go on either. However, suddenly, from the house next door, he tells us that he heard some music that he'd never heard of before. He was not at the time at all musically inclined, and still, the music suddenly made him alert. And this is how he describes the moment. As long as the music lasted, I was frozen. I dared not breathe. I was being spoken to by the music as music had never spoken to me before." For the creation of this centre, we have many people to thank. Sue Rowley from Sydney was the first to point out that creative ideas needed channeling and systems needed working, and it was imperative to know the ropes. Our Dean, Nick Harvey, cornered me one day in the corridor and asked me when all of this was going to happen. And if it did, he would give it his every support. As a novelist, I had always worked backwards. Now I was flung into the challenge of having to go forward. Mark Carroll, the centre's co-director and my partner in crime, is a great transformer of ideas into reality. And for his energy and know-how, and particularly for his organisation of this event, I am very much indebted. But all of this could not have happened if John Coetzee himself had not given it his imprimatur. And I owe much to his friendship, and I hope that this centre will live up to his name and do great things in the future. Our current projects, which already number a dozen or so, are just the tip of the iceberg. So it now gives me great pleasure to introduce someone who hardly needs any introduction, the twice Booker winner and Nobel laureate, J.M. Coetzee.
Thank you, Brian. When Brian first told me of the center he was planning to bring into existence and asked whether I would mind if my name were attached to it, my first reaction was one of embarrassment. I'm not going to go on at length on the subject of embarrassment, except to say that until that moment, I had never imagined that I would become the kind of person after whom things get to be named. The kind of person I think of as a worthy. An interesting word, since it doesn't mean quite what it may seem to mean, namely someone of great worth. Before long, I overcame these initial feelings of embarrassment. I reminded myself that the North Terrace campus of the University of Adelaide is home to scores of buildings, lecture theatres, laboratories, book collections, etc., that are named after worthies whom the people who today use those buildings and lecture theatres and so forth cannot identify and never give even a passing thought to. In other words, it is no big deal to have some facility or other named after you, and it is certainly not worth getting embarrassed about. More specifically, is it right to have a center for creative practice named after oneself? Better, I would say, than the J.M. Coetzee Center for Marketing Research, whose appropriate home would be somewhere between the Franz Kafka College of Bookkeeping and the Charles Dickens Research Center for Footwear and Footwear Products Technology. The center is a joint enterprise, a joint adventure entered into by the discipline of creative writing and the Elder Conservatory. What a marvelous idea to bring together music and writing. Why didn't anyone think of it before? A marvelous idea, not just because it is going to make it easier and more natural at the high end for musicians and writers to collaborate on operas and song cycles, but because it generally does us good and stimulates us when we mingle with people who are unlike us, but not too unlike us. Poets with singers, novelists with symphonists. A marvelous idea, and not an expensive one either. Brian mentioned to me what the new center was going to cost, and I couldn't believe my ears. I can't give you the exact figure, but it was ridiculously low. University authorities might learn a lesson here. If you want clever, productive ideas that won't cost you very much, don't hire expensive consultants. Just pick up the phone and call the folk in creative writing. My own connection with the University of Adelaide goes back to the time of my arrival in the city in 2002, when the university, unsolicited, offered me an academic home. Since then, I have experienced nothing but generosity at the hands of the university, the highest expression of which comes tonight with the inauguration of a center bearing my name. Among the facilities the university offered me was an office in the tall building next to the law school. That building is named, little known fact, after Sir Thomas Napier, Chancellor of the University between the years 1948 and 1961. I'm sure that if Sir Thomas were to visit Napier Building today, he would be surprised and puzzled, if not upset, by some of the things that go on there. On a much smaller scale, if in 20 or 30 years' time I were to pay a visit from the spirit world to the J.M. Coetzee Center, I'm sure I would be similarly surprised and puzzled and upset. And that will be fine. That is how things should be. The future doesn't belong to us. The future is another country. Such are my thoughts on the opening of this new centre. I don't know whether it's up to me or to Brian or to the Lieutenant Governor or to the Dean to open the centre officially, but anyway, here it